This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Aaron.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you.
And Bridget, most of our listeners know that for the past year or so, we've been starting each Faith in Action program with a prayer. Sometimes you've done the prayer. Sometimes I do the prayer. Sometimes we make our guests do the prayer.
We do.
And we've got a guest, a professional today, Deacon Ron Peru. And Deacon, could we have you lead us in a prayer here at the beginning of our program?
Certainly. So as we are recording this today, it's the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. So let us begin. Dear good and gracious God, we just thank you for the gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her Immaculate Conception, being that perfect vessel for our Lord to be born from and to come into this world. And we'll just say a prayer of praise. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now
and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, if you didn't know by his voice, we are talking about the permanent diaconate at St. Myra Seminary, and joining us is Deacon Ron Peru, who is the director of the permanent diaconate program there. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
Now, I got to ask you about your last name. Tell us how you say it, because I'm not sure if Jim and I are saying it correctly. And is it French, or what is it?
So my family pronounces it two ways. It's Peru or Perot.
Okay.
And most people think it's French, but it's actually Romanian.
Oh.
Both of my grandparents immigrated from Romania early in the last century, and they both spoke Romanian, so I got to hear that as a little kid. And, yep, Peru is the way you pronounce it.
Okay, well, good. We got that down. Well, okay, you are a permanent deacon for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And in some ways, that's fairly new. That's a fairly new thing for Catholics. Talk a little bit about what it is, what the role of a permanent deacon is.
Sure. Well, the permanent diaconate is, I'll say, very new here in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We've only had permanent deacons since 2008.
Okay.
So the permanent diaconate was a ministry that was restored at the Second Vatican Council. So it's been around now for a little bit over 50 years. Some of the dioceses throughout the United States implemented it earlier than others. It was up to the local bishop to allow permanent deacons to be ordained and serve in ministry. So you have some that go all the way back to the 70s and other ones that were as recent as just the last decade.
Now the office of deacon is, in the context you're talking about, it relatively new since Vatican II, but historically it goes back quite a bit beyond that, doesn't it?
It definitely is. It goes back to, if you read in the book of Acts 6, St. Stephen, he was instituted along with some other men to be in ministry of service. So while the priests were to minister with the sacrifice offering for the Eucharist, the deacons were to go out and be of service and bring that to the Eucharist to the orphans and children. So that's how far back it goes. And the deacons have been continuous from that time out throughout our Christian history. But the order of deacon, eventually, around the 3rd, 4th century, it transitioned from being a separate ministry to a ministry that a man who was studying in the seminary or it, probably earlier times, just instituted as a deacon in what was known as a transitional role, and then they were ordained priests. So for many years, from about 4th century on, deacons were only a transitional stage into becoming a priest.
Now, other denominations, I don't think the Catholics have them, but other denominations have elders in their parishes or in their communities. Is a deacon akin to an elder, or are they two totally different things?
They're pretty different, but there are in some other Christian traditions, they do have deacons, but they're probably more like what you said, the elder. They may be men who are of service and maybe responsibility for some financial things and maintaining and taking care of things in the church. So they are in a ministry of service, but in some of the other traditions, they don't have roles that they participate in the liturgy with preaching and things of that nature.
And we're going to be talking to, we are talking to Deacon Ron Perot, and we're going to be talking about his new job, so to speak, at St. Meinrad Seminary. But prior to that, you were with the office of Archindy downtown Indianapolis, and you were kind of in there, or heading, I guess, their kind of IT department and things like that. And I know you have a lot of knowledge in that. And so I have a question related there. It's not about how to fix my PC.
That's what I asked Jim. I'm like, it's not about... he told me he was going to spring a question. I'm like, you got a problem with your PC in there?
No, it's not about that, but it is about a subject that I know Deacon Ron knows a lot about. For a long time, you know, we've been dealing with hearing about things like Facebook and Instagram and that sort of thing. And they all have their positives, negatives, and et cetera. But recently, or more recently, TikTok has sprung onto the scene and seems like maybe it's even taking over. I don't know. But there's some dangers, I guess, from what I hear, that are unique to TikTok. Can you just talk a second for a few seconds about that?
Yeah, I'm really apprehensive about TikTok, too, because it's actually an app that's developed by the Chinese government. It's related to that, and there's some privacy concerns. And I was in a seminar probably about 2 years ago when I was in my role as the chief information officer, and there was a former FBI agent who talked to us, and we were talking about social media and privacy and things, and he said, while it's very popular and people like to do it, he just advised not to engage in that. So that's the one social media that I haven't engaged in. And we all know that China has some practices that they do that aren't necessarily follow ethical things that we have in business and then also in respect for life. So that one I would just kind of shy away from.
Well, it's really funny because when the last time we did this interview, I think TikTok did come up, and it's funny because I had been on there, and I just, because I talk about digital media and evangelization, I'd like to know the applications and how they work. So if I'm talking about it or someone asks me a question, I know what to say. And after that interview, I deleted it because I believe what you said, you know, and I'd read some other things about, you know, that might be. And it's interesting because that you bring that up, Jim, because recently in the news, you know, it's being considered as something that might actually be banned in the United States because of concerns now. So we'll see what happens to that. The young people might just reel and recoil and flail and all that.
And find some way around whatever law they pass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's so many other social medias, Instagram, Facebook. There's a lot that the younger folks use.
They can go to Snapchat or something else. They can find other things to do. They can figure it out. Well, I want to get back to our topic here. We're talking about the permanent diaconate, and I'm curious. I want to talk a little bit about your journey. And deacons are married, or can they be single, or both?
They can be both.
Okay, and I want to hear about your journey, because you know you weren't always a deacon, right?
No, I wasn't. But thank you for asking about the journey. And so I'm a cradle Catholic and have never really been away from the church. Some of us do the journeys, and we may veer a little bit, things of that nature. But my wife and I married fairly young, and we had children about a year and a half after we were married. We were, 23, and she was 22 when we had our first child. And we were live in a community and connect with the parish and had her child baptized. So, you know, I think we were somewhat blessed because many times when people even veer, usually when they have their first child and if they've been Catholic, that will kind of bring them back. So we've always been close to the faith. I went through a Christ Renews His Parish retreat about 20 years ago, and that was a really game changer for me, because while I was attending Mass every week, doing some praying and things of that nature, my priority was probably my job, my family, and my relationship with Jesus was maybe third priority. After the Christ Renews, I really prioritized Christ first in my life and had Him integrated in all aspects.
I hear that a lot, or we do, and you know, sometimes it's Curcio, sometimes it's Christ Renews. It was Christ Renews for me, so I think whichever one you do first, if you happen to do both of them, you have more of a loyalty. So I'm right there with you with that. So then, when did you discern the call to be a deacon?
Well, it was interesting because when I was on the Christ Renews retreat, there was a person that was attending the retreat, Deacon Ron Reimer, who serves as a deacon at St. Charles Borromeo in Bloomington. He was not a deacon at all yet, and he just mentioned to me on the retreat that he was considering the ministry of the deacon. And I was like, what is that? I had no idea what it was. So that was my first introduction to that. And then probably the next 6 months or so, there's another deacon, Deacon Steve Hodges, who's also at my parish and discerning the deacon, and they were just getting started. So that got the wheels turning and thinking about the ministry of the deacon.
So are you originally from, are you from Bloomington, or where did you do your Christ Renews? What parish were you at the time?
So I was at St. Francis and Claire of Assisi in Greenwood, Indiana, and both of those deacons were from that parish. And they were both served at St. Francis and Claire, and they've moved to other parishes now.
Now, you are still at St. Francis and Claire there in Greenwood?
Yes, yes. My wife and I have been there since 1998, and I've been serving there since 2012. The one thing I want to mention as an interesting thing that Catholic Radio played a part in discerning the call, I had several people that mentioned to me that, hey, I think you'd be a good deacon, and that got me thinking even more. But I was listening to an interview, and I remember I was traveling a lot. I stopped at a gas station to fill up, and someone was talking about the diaconate, and I just kind of stopped there and listened. And the one thing he said, with the ministry of the deacon, it's not so much about what you do inside the church, but it's the ministry that you do outside, so in your secular job, with your family, in your entertainment that you do, socializing, things of that nature, and you're a deacon all the time, but it's more about where people would never even encounter the church. And that really spoke to me, and I think that kind of synthesized the call at that time to move forward to going through the process to start investigating very seriously.
That is really super cool. We love hearing stories about how Catholic Radio Indy, just in their car or maybe at home listening and streaming, they hear something in it and God really speaks to them, and they have a call either to the priesthood, the diaconate, or just are a better parent or a better mom, whatever, a better student. So,
sure, and sisters and nuns.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we love to hear that. We're going to talk some more with Deacon Ron Peru here, the permanent about the permanent diaconate at St. Myron Seminary. We're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break, so stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Do you sometimes think that nobody prays for you? Does it seem like your concerns and worries aren't shared by anybody else? If so, then put that away. We here at Catholic Radio Indy pray for you, our listeners, every single day. If you have a special prayer request, go to www.catholicradioindy.org and let us know. We lift up our listeners' prayers each morning. It's how we start our workday. Let us pray for you, and may God bless you abundantly.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Deacon Ron Peru. He is the director of the permanent diaconate at St. Myron Seminary, and you're also a full-time permanent deacon at St. Francis and Claire right there in Greenwood. And we actually have a new signal down there. We have a new tower. What is it, 89.5? Is that right, Jim?
89.5. That's covering, it's actually located in Franklin, and covers from the south side of Indianapolis down to about Columbus. As you leave 465 here, you can get all the way down to Columbus on 65, and of course quite a ways out to either side of that as well. So if you live in that area, especially down in St. Francis and Claire area, we should be coming in just fine down there. Our transmitter is located near where you see those three big monster towers on, I think it's on 135 south at Trafalgar there. Well, we're on that very same property there, so that's pretty close to some of those parishes there. So anything anybody can do to help us spread the word there would be greatly appreciated, and it's 89.5
FM down there. And it's funny because Deacon Ron was like, once we started broadcasting, he was like one of the first people that called us and said, hey, you guys are coming in crystal clear down here. So we appreciate that. And if anybody else is listening that is a new listener, welcome. And hey, you can go to our newsletter or go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and sign up for our newsletter if you're not there yet. So do that. Okay, so I want to talk about the discernment process. What's the first step in becoming a deacon, a permanent deacon?
Yeah, so I would say the first step, if a man is discerning a call to become a deacon, is to talk to his parish priest and just indicate that he has a prompting for that, and just discuss it with them. Because the one thing that it's not wanting to become a deacon, it's are you called to serve as a deacon? And that's the primary thing, because the deacons serve in a different role. They're ordained ministry, but they're configured as Christ the servant, and they need to have a servant heart, and then also be very connected with the faith and prayer and through the Eucharist.
Now, do you have to be a certain age, or you know, if you said you could be married or single? My understanding is if you're married, your children have to be over 18 or something like that. Is that still a rule, or how does that work?
Yeah, not anything to do with the age of your children.
Okay.
To be ordained, you have to be 35 years old.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't matter if you have kids or how old they are, right?
Right.
Oh, good.
Right.
Good.
You have to be 35, and then I think you have to be married at least 5 years.
Okay.
As well.
Oh, good. So there's no kid rule there. Okay. Good. I don't know where I heard that.
We had one of the guys in my group. They had a child in the midst of formation. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Well, that's super cool.
And it just a kind of a question that kind of fits in there. If a person becomes a deacon while they are single, either never having been married or being widowed, and they become a deacon, can they still marry then, or is it you can enter it as married, but you can't get married while it being a deacon?
Right. So once you're ordained, that's the state that you remain in. So if you're single, you remain single. You can't marry and be an ordained deacon. If you're married, the one thing is if your wife predeceases you, then you're to remain single. So that's a little bit of a challenge thinking about that, too.
And it's obviously a lifetime. Once you're ordained for life, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the one thing I would want to do is, encourage guys that are younger to consider the diaconate. Many of them think, well, this is something I can do when I'm retired. But the one thing I think is the ministry that's most important is the ministry that you do outside of the church. So if you're a younger man and you have kids, you're going to be involved in sports, kids' activities, at work, and things of that nature. And you may not have as much time to serve as a deacon who is retired or near retirement. And I think where you serve at, the priest would be understanding, and maybe you'd have less that you'd have to serve time-wise, but you're going to be serving much longer. And you're going to have an impact of people, because I can't think of the times that I had people who came up to me who I knew weren't part of a faith community that says, do you mind if we have lunch today? And it would be something that they had going on and looking for some advice because they knew I was a deacon.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, it's really when you're outside the church walls is when people, it's when you encounter people, you know, and people ask questions, they see your life and all that. So talk about the process. We've got about, about 6-8 minutes left. Talk a little bit about the process. Once you discern that you are called, what's involved with the process there at St. Meinrad?
Right. So the way it works is it's in the diocese. You talk to your priest and show some interest, and then there are times that a diocese has what's known as inquiry sessions. So those inquiries are meetings that the deacon and, if married, his wife will attend, and it's usually a series of 3 to 6 meetings that you come together at a place, and they'll talk about the diaconate. Here in Indianapolis, they do that, and you need to go to all the sessions. You don't just go to one, because part of it is learning about the various topics, but also the drive time that you have with your spouse. So the inquiry process is what you go through. After you've been through them, then you're invited to apply. So that having that recommendation from a priest is essential for that, because they want to make sure that you have a spiritual connection and you're at a parish. You go through the application process, and then you, if you're invited after your application, then you actually go on to doing what's known as formation. And part of that application process, there are some interviews and things of that nature with some people, but once you're invited, then the formation starts.
So if people want to know more about to get started, and we'll give this at the end, they should start with their parish priest, and then there's also, you guys have a website address that people can go there and look for some more information there at St. Meinrad. Give us that.
Yep. So the two things that they could do is most dioceses, they'll have a director of formation. So refer to your diocesan website for the director of formation. It'll give you the process and the dates and things of that nature for inquiry and that application process. But you can also go to stmeinrad.edu.
All right. A question that always comes to my mind is kind of what the pipeline looks like. We need lots of deacons, and there are a certain number at various stages of the process right now. But how many are we looking at in the pipeline, so to speak? Are we looking at 50 or 100 or 5 or 10?
Well, I'll just give you an example. For St. Meinrad, we have 10 dioceses that we're working with in formation right now. And there's probably about 170 deacon candidates or aspirants that are in formation.
Wow.
In these 10 different
okay.
dioceses. And that ranges from as small as maybe 6 in one diocese to another diocese that has 35 guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's I'm surprised at that number. That's pretty awesome. So what has it been like for you to be a deacon? We're just about out of time. We've got a couple minutes.
You know, it's very much of a blessing being able to serve at the altar and being that close to Jesus in the Eucharist. So that's one thing that gives me a lot of grace and strength to go out and serve. It brings me a lot of joy to do that and to go out and minister to people in the community. The Ministry of Charity, most deacons all have a Ministry of Charity. I serve in coordinating the Johnson County Jail Ministry, but also doing visits to people who are sick and not able to come to the church. So that going out brings a lot of joy, is that connection to people. And then just running into people in the community and being able to be that icon of Christ the servant. I have a lot of people inquire about how do they get involved and serve in various things, or they're struggling with something, and you know, we're able to have a conversation and kind of be that bridge to Christ to help them to see that the love and support that God gives them.
And I think deacons might be, maybe more approachable because, you know, maybe they don't have the collar on. They're maybe you look more like me, you know what I'm saying, in terms of you're out there living a married life and, you know, more in the community, maybe more so than priests. So it's just another avenue for people to come and have their questions answered and for you to serve. Before we go, would you give our listeners a blessing?
Certainly. Let us pray in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the Blessed Virgin and the closeness that we can have to her son, and asking for her prayers of intercession. May we continue to ask for that intercession. And as we continue this day, we ask for the blessing to come upon all of us. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And can you give us the websites one more time and the contact information, what somebody could do that's been listening all the half hour here and saying, gee, you know, I think I might be interested in that, or I might know somebody that's interested. And again, just the quickly the steps to start and where to begin.
Yeah, if they're interested in learning about the deacon formation, they can go to www.saintmeinrad.edu. And right on that page, there's a permanent deacon formation, and it explains what the formation is. And if they wanted to call me, 812-357-6378. And just encouraged to go to their own diocese page and look for permanent deacon formation. And there'll also be a formation director and a contact there in Indianapolis. It's Deacon Kerry Blanford, and his information is on there.
Well, for those who feel the call, you've heard it here. Just be encouraged to take the next step. And we've been talking with Deacon Ron Peru. He's the director of the permanent diaconate at St. Meinrad Seminary, and he's also a permanent deacon at St. Francis and Claire in Greenwood. Deacon Ron, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. God bless you both.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Brigid. That's B-R-I-G-I-D. Brigid at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.